This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I'm Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo. Our team thanks you for downloading the Rich Scioli podcast. Relationships matter to all of us. At Cherry Hill Volvo, we will work to gain your trust, your confidence, and in turn, develop a relationship with you, the Rich Scioli listener.
Now, live from the Malamut & Associates Law Studios, the revolution will be broadcast. This is the next generation of talk. Now, the Rich Scioli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
All right, well, King Murphy has announced that he's going to allow some curbside pickup for restaurants in New Jersey, and so that's good. That's some good news, but not everybody is going to like the news coming out of New Jersey and Pennsylvania today. People have had enough. And we are still not opening as quickly as we need to be, because we keep hearing things about fear motivating everything, every decision being made today. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 is our number. 855-839-1210. The scandal in Pennsylvania with the health commissioner, Dr. Levine, who moved her own mother out of a nursing home while she was forcing nursing homes in Pennsylvania to take COVID-19 positive residents is absolutely an outrage. It should be a national scandal. This is the kind of thing that should be national news today. You know, that this health official did this, but it's a Democrat administration, so it's not going to become a big story. It should be. Should be a huge story. Should be an absolute travesty. Think about this now for a second. We know that 70% of the deaths in Pennsylvania from COVID-19 came from nursing homes and long-term care facilities. This is a very similar pattern to New Jersey and New York, the epicenters of this outbreak. People who are of a certain age, who are healthy, they'll get the virus, they'll fight. For the most part, overwhelmingly, they're going to make it. They may have long-term complications, maybe a long battle. They may have to have experimental drug therapies. But the death rate, in terms of the people that are dying from this disease, it's a category of people, for the most part, of a certain age. And now we're understanding in certain places, those places being long-term care facilities, where it all stacked together, essentially. And they've allowed now this to go on since March. So in March, Rachel Levine, the state health commissioner of Pennsylvania, orders nursing homes, you must take COVID-19 positive people. You cannot turn anybody away. But she moves her mother out of one. She moves her own 95-year-old mother out of a nursing home. And of course, we're supposed to think that that's no big deal. When nursing homes wanted to move patients out, they were told no. You cannot move somebody out of a nursing home if they are positive with COVID-19. When the health commissioner of Pennsylvania wanted to move her own mother out of a nursing home, she didn't have to ask anybody. She's a health commissioner. Does whatever the hell she wants. Not that her mother had COVID-19, but still, she obviously did it so her mother wouldn't get COVID-19. Anyway, that's it's a huge story. It's something that everybody should be angry about. She should be fired by Governor Tom Wolf, but he's a wuss, so she should resign in disgrace. And everybody in America today should be talking about this story. Look, if it was a Republican governor who did this, I mean, imagine if Kristi Noem, they hate her, the Republican governor of South Dakota, imagine if her health commissioner had done this. It would be 60 Minutes and 48 Hours and all the other shows, all the morning shows, the unbiased journalist George Stephanopoulos will be all over it. The Lesser Cuomo will be all over it. I mean, they're all over this stuff. And here we are now not talking about this on the national level. I'm just amazed by it. The nursing home scandal is a huge, huge story. And everybody needs to talk about this. Everybody should be talking about this around the country, because I keep hearing that this virus is not going away. It may come back in greater numbers. I keep hearing that. You keep hearing that, right? So if we have not addressed the problem of long-term care facilities and nursing homes, isn't that still ground zero for all this? So they announced they're going to do testing now. Finally, it's May. It's the middle of May. They finally announced they're going to start testing people in nursing homes. Are you kidding me? You know the reason why this is not a bigger story, right? The reason it's not a bigger story is because Joe Biden's campaign is a mess. It is a mess. And this is a guy who's got this entire, you know, this Me Too issue hanging around his neck, and he's not a good politician, never has been. I said months ago, I don't think Joe Biden's going to be the nominee. I was shocked when all of a sudden he got everybody's endorsement all at once and everybody dropped out, like he had something on them. I was shocked by that. But his campaign's a mess. He is in a position right now where he's got this Me Too problem. He was just named in the report that said he was one of the people that requested the unmasking of General Michael Flynn. So there's that whole can of worms that's about to open on Joe Biden. There was a poll done recently. It was a CNN poll. Majority in the poll said they believe that Trump has more stamina and sharpness, mental sharpness, than Biden does. So people are paying attention to how he stumbles in the Biden basement network and the Biden kitchen network when the birds are chirping zippity-doo-dah in his ear and he's trying to make sense. They're noticing this and it's not working for him. Right now, think about it. I understand he's sidelined with the fact that he can't be out campaigning, but this is a major crisis. The economy is going to hell in a handbasket, theoretically. He should be clobbering Trump right now, right? I mean, theoretically. Isn't that the old rule, it's the economy stupid? He can't gain momentum. He can't gain momentum now. Think about that for a second. And I think the reason why is because people look at him and go, can he do any better? Can he get us through this? Can this guy get us to a better place than we are now? Sometimes the devil you know is better than the devil you don't. Obviously, I'm not talking about solid Trump supporters. I'm saying the people that are, you know, kind of voters that go the swing voters. Or the ones in the main line who just hate Trump's guts, but they're looking at Biden going, can this guy get things going? I don't know. I'm not sure about this one. Does he even know where he is right now? So the reason why the nursing home scandal story is not a bigger story is that the guy at the epicenter of this is Andrew Cuomo. Now, if tomorrow Joe Biden had to leave the race because of issues, don't tell me the Democrats would not immediately demand that Andrew Cuomo enter the race. And they'd have to tell Bernie Sanders to chill out. I don't particularly believe the whole Bernie Sanders revolution. They'd never be able to win because of Bernie's people. I mean, I don't buy that. Bernie doesn't have enough of them in the key states that matter. So the Democrats would go all after Andrew Cuomo. And the problem is that if the media starts going after this nursing home story now, well, you're going to make Andrew Cuomo look very, very bad. So it's up to people like me to bring up the nursing home scandal. Andrew Cuomo in March ordered nursing homes in New York to take COVID-19 patients. He ordered them to keep those patients there. He told them no when they asked him for PPEs, personal protective equipment. When nursing homes requested to move patients out of said nursing homes onto the USNS Comfort, the Navy ship that the president sent to New York Harbor, Andrew Cuomo told them no. It's only now that Andrew Cuomo is beginning to acknowledge that there's a problem. But even then, the other day, he goes, the numbers, I don't know. Are the numbers what the numbers are? I don't even know. And he's trying to dodge this. The only big three network of ABC, NBC, and CBS to even mention it briefly was NBC. And I played the clip this morning on the show. For about 18 seconds, they mentioned his controversial decisions regarding nursing homes. They didn't even really get into it. But if they were Republican governors and all these people were dying in nursing homes, I mean, just imagine if in a red state, imagine Florida, imagine Ron DeSantis, who they hate him so much, right? The governor there, they really do. Imagine if he had given the order about nursing homes that resulted in all of these deaths. That 70% of the deaths in the state were nursing homes. Elderly, our parents, our grandparents, aunts, uncles, the greatest generation. It would be nonstop. They'd have a separate nursing home death count. You know, you turn on the news and they've got the U.S. numbers, the worldwide numbers. They would have a separate nursing home number just for the red states that have nursing homes. This is being so swept under the rug here. And it infuriates me because there's no reason why this should not be a major scandal. except that it would really hurt Andrew Cuomo. If something happens to Joe Biden, they're going to want Andrew Cuomo to run. I think this issue can potentially destroy his candidacy in a very, very short amount of time. Elderly Americans, seniors, don't want to hear that he's responsible for what happened here. They don't want to hear it. They're not going to put up with that. I don't care whatever anger they have, whatever issues they have with Trump. Cuomo does not offer a credible alternative when you can point to him and say, your policies resulted in this. But Democrats don't see it that way. What Democrats see is a guy who's been out there every day and he's praised by the likes of Chris Hayes on MSNBC and Rachel Maddow and the New York Times. He's the president we need right now. They go on about this stuff. It's like with Phil Murphy in New Jersey or Tom Wolf in Pennsylvania. These are heroes, these governors, as they're destroying the economies in their states. They're heroes for making tough decisions. You know, leave out the people that are going bankrupt and losing their homes and losing their businesses and everything else. You know, Tom Wolf, the governor of Pennsylvania, calls people cowardly and selfish if they want to open their business. Cowardly and selfish. So you see the double standard here when it comes to reporting things. And really, give me another reason why the nursing home story is not front page news in every paper in America right now. Give me another reason why the Pennsylvania Health Commissioner moving her mother out of a nursing home while she's ordering nursing homes to take positive COVID-19 positive patients. Tell me why that is not a front page story on every newspaper in America, and it's leading the shows in the morning and at night and everything else. Explain that to me, because I can't figure it out, unless it's once again motivated by politics. And this is why people really honestly hate the media so much and hate this the time we're living in some ways, because it shouldn't be like that. It really should not be like that. I shouldn't have to go to the front page of the New York Times and try looking all over to find a story about nursing homes and nursing home deaths and to find a story about the Pennsylvania Health Commissioner and find out that I've got a recipe for quarantine foods. The joy of vegan cooking. There's no joy in vegan cooking, by the way. There's no joy in vegan eating either. That's a side note. So anyway, why has this happened this way, though? And again, this goes to the point of why so many people distrust the information that comes out of Washington. I played the cuts today of Fauci back in March, a Surgeon General back in March, telling people don't wear masks. Fauci going on and on about the unintended consequences of wearing masks, touching your face too much, false sense of security, getting too close to people. We have been given so many different rules and commandments. The one consistency in all of this has been the complete and utter lockdown of our economy to such a degree now that we're looking at the kind of economic devastation that's going to make us turn around and go, what country are we living in? So then there's people out there that think these Democrat governors are doing this on purpose. That even though the hospitals have it under control, even though we recognize where the deaths are mainly occurring, even though we're all willing to do our part, wear our masks, social distance, yada, yada, they still won't let all businesses open up. For example, this morning I had on a couple guys on a gym, South Jersey. They're going to open up Monday regardless of what Governor Phil Murphy says. They're going to do it because they believe they can keep everybody safe, and responsible adults who come to their gym can keep everybody safe too, keep themselves safe. So with everything we know, with all the data we have, why are these states still on absolute lockdown? And so if there's rumors on the internet or conspiracy theories on the internet that these people just want to crush the economy to get rid of Donald Trump, that they're looking at the death toll with giddy delight because they know it's going to hurt Trump's reelection chances. If those theories are out there, what are these governors doing to refute them? They're confirming them. They're confirming them by their steps and their decisions. Even today, as Governor Phil Murphy announces that we can start going to drive-in movie theaters again and we can have car events. I kid you not, car events. Car events. But he says the cars have to social distance from each other. Like it's the movie cars. The cars can't get too close to each other. And he says if any windows are rolled down, the car must be 6 feet away from somebody. If the sunroof is open, you got to make sure the car is 6 feet away. Like what? Silly stuff like that. But it's been such a battle to get here. It's been a battle to get here. And what the data shows, New York Times did an analysis, is that people are going out. Because the lockdowns were so extreme, they have had the effect now of everybody, as soon as things are open, is going out and going to those things that are open. This is the other unintended consequence of the government's absolute stupidity in how they handled this. Because they didn't have a plan. because they didn't have a plan. The minute that the weather got warm and the minute that parks were open, the minute that the beaches were open, the minute that certain restaurants and bars and places were allowed to open, guess what happened? Everybody went out. As restrictions lift, millions are leaving home again. New York Times with this story. Millions are leaving home again. And you look at the areas where the people are leaving the most, the biggest changes, you want to guess? The minute that places open up is the minute where people start moving the most. The minute where the places where they had the most extreme lockdowns, the minute that those lockdowns begin to ease, that's when the people move the most. And I mean move in terms of just getting out there. After weeks of being cooped up at home following governor's orders to contain the coronavirus outbreak, U.S. residents appear eager to get moving again. As more states begin to relax restrictions, about 25 million more people ventured outside their homes on an average day last week than during the preceding 6 weeks. They analyzed cell phone data to find that out. In nearly every part of the country, the share of people staying home dropped in some places by nearly 11 percentage points. Think about that. Last week, the share of people staying home was 36% on average, or about 119 million people. That's a drop of 7.7 percentage points from the average during the peak period for sheltering in place. From March 20th, when states began telling people to stay home, to April 30th, when many states eased restrictions, 43.8% of U.S. residents, about 144 million people, stayed home. The share of people staying home remained far higher than the U.S. average before the outbreak, which consistently hovered around 20.7% of the population, or about 68 million people. The surge in movement came as more than half the states started to reopen their economies or had plans to do so, despite concerns among public health experts about the possibility of additional waves and new coronavirus infections and deaths as a result. You know why? Because the lockdowns were so extreme. They were so extreme that people said, I understand there's a risk, but I got to get out there. I got to do something. I'm losing my freaking mind. I'm losing my mind. I got to go. I got to get out there. Met one of my neighbors today on the street. Nice guy named Chris. He's walking down the street. Says hello. Fan of the show. Thanks for saying hi. I'm walking the kids. I mean, people want to get out. They want to get out there. The minute that you give people freedom, they're going to take advantage of it. So think back to what I've been saying to you from day one. Imagine if we had had an actual plan. If Governor Murphy, Governor Wolf, Governor Cuomo, Governor Carney had all had plans in place in January when they knew the coronavirus was coming. And they had a plan. And the plan was to handle it, to mitigate it, to figure out what their needs were. They pooled resources. They worked with the federal government. And then they were able to isolate hot breaks, outbreaks, hot zones, so it didn't spread throughout their whole states. They figured out what they had to lock down and how. They gave businesses advanced guidance on how they could stay in business while keeping people safe. They would have had 2 months to work on those plans before the stuff hit the fan, you know? They didn't have a plan. They just locked everything down. And they went so extreme in their lockdowns that the second that people got a little bit of their freedom back, they went, all right, I'm done. I'm out. I know there's a risk, but I got to get outside. I have to do it. The kids are driving me crazy. This house is driving me crazy. I have to get outside. I'll take my chances. I need to go. I got to do this. That's what the data is showing. And that's an example of why government and their ridiculousness, the unintended consequences of these extreme lockdown orders. If people do get sick, again, if the infection rates go up, blame government. Don't blame the people. Blame government for not having a plan and acting so extreme on the issue that they force people to just get out there in mass the minute that those restrictions were started to ease. Not their fault they want to enjoy freedom. It's in our bones. It's in our DNA. It's who we are. 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. It's me, Rich, back with you on Afternoon Drive. How are you doing? Your frustrations, your hopes, your dreams. I want to hear from you today and this afternoon. I'm with you till 6 o'clock. So give me a call. 855-839-1210. Coming right back. All right. Your calls, your thoughts. How are things going? 855-839-1210. Jen is in Boothwyn. Jen, good evening. How are you tonight?
I'm good. How about you, Rich?
I'm okay.
Good. And well, I know you're a parent. You have, you know, very young children under five, and I'm the same way. My husband and I, we have five-year-old twins, and he's a truck driver. He works every day, 12 to 14 hours a day. So it becomes a logistical nightmare if I have to go to the store with the twins. And it's come to the point where if I have to go to the store to get a gallon of milk, I've made the tough decision to leave my kids in the car with our dog and make sure I only stay in the store for 5 minutes to get, say, get a gallon of milk and then come back. This whole COVID-19 thing, it's not like you can go at 11 o'clock at night like you used to, to a Walmart or a 7-Eleven or something like that and get milk. I have to go during the day. And it has caused so much anxiety in our house. I can't tell you.
I can only imagine, especially considering that we live in a time where if you leave kids in the car, the entire wrath of the state comes down on top of you.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's got to be nerve-wracking for you.
Other parents out there the same way.
Yeah, I was just saying to my wife the other night, I can only imagine what it must be like for single parents that have to do this. Mm-hmm. Parents who are on their own have to deal with this. And what they do, how do they do it with kids, and especially young kids? So my heart goes out to you. It really does, Jen. I absolutely feel for you. I can't imagine that. I'm just grateful that you're able to find a way. Have you looked into like Instacart, for example, or any of those delivery services?
I have. Unfortunately, a lot of those places, they take a long time. Sometimes it's a split decision thing. Thankfully, I've only had to done it twice.
Yeah.
But if you call Giant, you call other places, they're scheduling weeks ahead to have deliveries. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's just so tough.
Yeah, well, that's true. It really is. Jen, thank you for the call and for letting us know that frustration.
Sure.
People don't think about that. I mean, Governor Wolf doesn't think about that. Governor Murphy doesn't think about that. I will say I used Instacart the other day because of baby Reagan. We are doing our best to not go really anywhere. We just don't know, baby's immune system and everything like that. So we're, just better safe than sorry. And so I did the Instacart. I got to tell you, I was thrilled by it. And the woman who did our delivery, turns out she doesn't live too far from me. And she said that she signed up to work for them because she just wanted to do something to help out. And I thought that was great because there's a lot of people, I'm sure, like in Jen's situation or elderly people, people that have underlying conditions or maybe babies or pregnant women who just really don't want to risk being in the stores because, it's obviously there's always a risk with those kind of things. So these delivery services have really stepped up. And the Instacart thing was great. I found it very easy. I placed the order on, what day was it? I guess it was Monday. And then Tuesday morning, they had done the shopping and delivered it. So I was very, very pleased. But it was nice. I talked to the driver through the door, the delivery person, and she said that's why she did it. She just wanted to do her part to give back in some way. I thought that was pretty impressive. So 855-839-1210. There's a lot of people doing amazing stuff right now to help each other out. It really is inspiring. We're good people. I always say that, we're good people. We do the right thing. Too often, though, government butts its ugly head into things and makes things worse, right? I mean, how often do you feel that way about life? Like, if government just stayed out of it, would we be better off? How many people back in March wanted to wear face masks and then Fauci told them not to, or the Surgeon General told them not to? I know for a fact there were people that bought face masks back then, and they were like, I guess I'll wear them. And then the government said, don't wear them. Now everybody has to wear them. You know what I mean? It's that kind of craziness. It's the whole idea of the information one day and it changes the next day. And then all of a sudden you turn around and you go, what am I supposed to do here? How many times do you think to yourself, can we just be left alone to figure this out on our own? Like, give us guidance and we'll do our part. We don't need to be nanny stated to death. I feel that way all the time. I really do. And I think what you find is that when the dust settles on this, we're going to find out that the biggest problems were caused by government policy. The nursing homes are a great example of that. 855-839-1210. By the way, I'd like to say a special hello tonight to a very special person who's listening to the show. The other night I mentioned to you, I got a letter from a U.S. Navy veteran from World War II. Who sent me a note congratulating me on the birth of my daughter, baby Reagan, and sent a crisp $50 bill towards the baby's future. And I was just so impressed by that. And I said a 96-and-a-half-year-old veteran took the time to write me a letter. A 96-and-a-half-year-old World War II veteran. Well, turns out that the person who is the veteran is Jane. So I want to say hello to Jane Shop. She was part of the U.S. Navy Waves. which was the women's branch during World War II, as you know. And the United States Naval Reserve, Women's Reserve, WAVES. So she is the veteran who took the time to send me that $50 bill and the note to Reagan, World War II veteran. I'm very, very touched by that. So Jane Schaap, I want to say God bless you. Thank you for your service to our country. You're a pioneer. You were there for our country when we needed you during our toughest time. And you truly are part of the greatest generation. So God bless you. And thank you so much for sending that letter to my daughter. I will frame it, and it will hang in her room as a reminder to her of what service is really about. As you talked about your service to God and country during the Second World War, why you decided to join the WAVES. And I salute you. And you will be an inspiration for my children. So God bless. 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. And I'm sorry I got the details of that wrong. I'm just so, there's no sleep in this house. And it's a crazy but wonderful time. It certainly is. All right, let's see now. Andrea is in the Northeast. Andrea, hi, how are you?
I'm good, Rich. How you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
How's that sweet little baby of yours?
She's a doll. I mean, she's eating a lot during the night, so we got to get up a lot, but it's worth it. She's just so sweet. She smiled today for the first time, which was beautiful.
Wonderful. You have a beautiful family.
Thank you.
Beautiful. So what I wanted to say was to the lady who called earlier about leaving the kids in the car, having to run in the grocery store, that kind of thing. I work for Nutritional Development Services, or Office of the Archdiocese, and we have emergency meal sites set up all over the five counties. And some sites are, you know, handing out meals one day a week. Some sites are handing out meals two days a week. But you can just drive right up. You don't need to sign anything. You don't need to, you know, give income. It's basically drive up. We ask you how many children are in your family. If you say you have two kids, we can give you anywhere between 3 and 5 breakfasts and lunches for each child. So it's just a great way to fill the gap between the children who are normally getting school lunch or school breakfast, and now they're not in school, so those meals are gone. And I just want to make sure that people are aware of that. So I just thought I'd call in, and you can go on our website. It's healthymealsforchildren.org, and you can find out where all these sites are. But, I mean, today I did got St. Matt's up and running. We have a bunch of community centers, Resurrection, St. Cecilia's, Little Flower, St. Hubert's, in addition to a ton of other, you know, small churches and community centers, and the YMCA on Broad Street, the one in West Philly. We have about 100 sites up and running doing this. So the food is available for your kids out there, free of charge. Drive
Great. Up. Yeah, no, that's really, one more time on the website, if you could, Andrea.
The website is healthymealsforchildren.org.
Great. Thank you for that. Thank you so much for that information. It's very, very important. And thanks for doing that. A lot of people are struggling right now, as you know. Mike is in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Mike, thanks for the call all the way from Tennessee. How you doing?
We're here in Tennessee. I love your show, Rich. I'm a Philly native. 1240 influenced my life. I own a radio station here in Chattanooga.
Nice.
And it's a news talk station, believe it or not. And I'm listening to you. How about that?
I'm honored.
You do a great job. I wish you were here. But let me give you my analysis.
Talk to my agent. We can make that happen. No, I'm sorry. I'm kidding.
There we go. The lockdown ended here about 3 weeks ago. Last open was salons and so forth. The direct contact people. Not one case of coronavirus since then. 17 total cases in 3 months, 3 weeks now. Everything's open. And I mean everything. It's pretty amazing.
Wow.
So I don't think there's a match bubble over Chattanooga. 250,000 in the city, in the metro, about total metro about 1 million people. So everything's normal here, and I'm looking at the rest of the country going, you want to talk about cowards? Come on, Philadelphia is where it all started. Why are we listening to Wolf?
Yeah,
you know, can I share one thing with you? Article 1, Section 10: No state shall impede or impair the obligation of contract. The governor has no authority to close any business except liquor stores. And I don't know why lawyers aren't saying that. It just amazes me.
Well, they tried. I had a lawyer on, Mike. They sued Wolf. They actually did the Fifth Amendment takings clause of the Constitution. And it went all the way to the Supreme Court. And the court said they're not going to hear the case. So Wolf is able to do what he's doing here. And I agree with you. I think it's unconstitutional. And I wish that I wish the president would do more on this point. I would like him to do more. I think he needs to do more because I think these governors are purposely trying to hurt him at this point. I really do. If you can destroy an economy in Pennsylvania, it only benefits people like Governor Tom Wolf and Murphy, these other socialists. They're millionaires, right? I mean, they're not going to get hurt by this, Mike.
Exactly. I'm disappointed in Trump. I mean, I'm a big Trump supporter, but I cannot figure out why he hasn't fired Fauci. That's a mystery to me.
Well, I think that even beyond that so much, because really, Fauci, he could sideline him if he wanted to. He clearly doesn't. But I mean, beyond that where is the Bill Barr talked about the Justice Department possibly filing suit against some of these states and impeding interstate commerce and taking away the civil rights of certain people. I mean, I think a lot of people's civil rights have been violated by these executive orders. So where's the Justice Department
looking into that? Remember, it's only six that are to be quarantined under the law. It's not lawful to quarantine anyone other than the sick.
Right.
Now, if there were martial law, let's say the Spanish flu, and people were dying in the streets, and the system was overwhelmed, they can declare martial law and close everything down. But under these conditions, you only quarantine the sick. And I don't know how they get around that. And one more thing, they're not going to win. The left is not going to win by thinking they can destroy business. People are not that stupid. They see through them.
Well, I hope you're right. Your lips to God's ears, my friend. Hey, Mike, thanks for the call,
buddy.
Brother.
Thank you.
I hope to see you one day in person, and you keep the faith, man.
Thank you, buddy. Great job.
All right, Mike. Thank you. 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. Jerry's in Warminster. Hey, Jerry. Oh, lost Jerry. I'm sorry, Jerry. Bo in Levittown. Hey, Bo.
Hey, Rich, you know, was there one question to Dr. Fauci about all the unintended consequences? As an example, 80,000 people not getting cancer diagnosis early that could possibly save them that are now going to have to possibly die from that, or the unintended consequences as far as people committing suicide, child abuse, domestic abuse going up. Has anybody ever asked him that question? Or the point that you bring up, has anybody ever asked them about herd immunity? How I judge people is, it's easy to complain, to be a doomsayer, and every time that guy talks and I look at the stock market, I go crazy because it's dropped 1,000 points in the past day because of him. But he doesn't ever have a solution to anything. You know, what can we do to get people out? I mean, I know that you have to get outside to build up your immunity. You know, we need certain things or certain things in the ocean, in the air, these fluids that go into our system that help us fight these viruses. Now, if you're a high-risk person, you should stay in, you know, and we should all practice social distancing, but we can't bankrupt our economy because of it.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think people can do the right things, Bo, if they're given the opportunity to do so. The problem, of course, is that the mindset of a lot of these governors is we're children and they had no plans. They had no plans. And so this is what they had to do. They lock everything down. And it's absolutely unconscionable what's happening here. And you make a great point, too, about all the medical procedures that didn't happen, the people that are hurting from that. A story I saw today about mental health recovery village survey showing that nearly 30% of respondents from affected areas said their drinking had increased significantly over the past month. There's a correlation. Since the start of the pandemic, there's been a surge in alcohol sales and deliveries. 42% of Americans having a drink on the job as they work from home. What does that tell you?
It tells you that they don't have a solution. I have a situation personally where an individual isn't getting their therapy, and it's really, you could see the downward spiral in the individual because, you know, they haven't been able to go to therapy. It's just insane what's going on. I want Dr. Fauci is not, as Dr. Paul said, is not the end all. And the guy has an ulterior motive.
I don't know if he does or not. All I know is that it's up to the president if he goes out there and speaks to the Senate. The president says he has all the confidence in the world in the guy. I don't know, you know, I don't know what to say beyond that. It's certainly
the president, it's not Fauci
who's in charge. Remember that. Donald Trump's in charge, not Anthony Fauci. And I just think we have to remember that.
Well, for some reason, President Trump feels that he needs to play the political game with him because he's highly respected. But he even finally admitted, and I know this for a fact, that certain viruses, vaccines necessarily may not work. And he even finally said it yesterday in the hearing, that this vaccine may not work. And you had that with the flu. It's a crapshoot every year with the flu vaccine,
too. It may not work, Bo, and that's another problem, too. And thanks for the call, my friend. It may not work, and they may keep that as a reason to keep this lockdown going. So, you know, bear that in mind. Look, the buck stops at the president, all right? I know it takes a little bit of guts to say that this day and age because you usually get attacked on Twitter. I don't really care. Fauci's not the president. The president's the president. Fauci works for him. We consume all our time discussing this guy, but he's not the guy. President's the guy. 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. It's me, Rich, back with you in Afternoon Drive, coming right back. These are strange times, I'll tell you what. They really are. Strange and bizarre times we're living in. 855-839-1210 is the number if you want to get in before the program ends. Happy to be back with you during this by the way, I will never use the phrase the new normal. I reject the notion that this is our normal. I won't let it become the normal. I will do everything in my power to make sure it does not become the normal. Do we want to continue to wake up in a country like this? And when this is over, and it will end at some point, a couple things I'd like to do maybe as a postmortem, if we shall do that. Number one, can we talk about how much power we've given these governors in emergencies? Can we talk about that? Can we have a conversation about that? They become kings. The minute they declare an emergency, they become absolute monarchs with zero checks and balance. Need to talk about that. Got to talk about China, not our friend. I said yesterday, imagine if during the Cold War, we were buying those anti-nuclear desks all the kids hid under from the Soviet Union or Cuba. How stupid would that be? Why are we buying masks from China and then we're surprised when they fall apart on doctors and nurses' faces? Really? We're shocked by that? So we need to have a grown-up conversation about some of these things. We really do. And then we also got to talk about something else that I think is very, very important at the end of this. Everybody who thinks it's a good idea to sacrifice our liberty in the name of safety, at what point will you wake up and say, nah, it's not worth it anymore? I hope you do. I really, I'm not saying you personally. I'm just saying that to those that are out there like that, and I see a lot of them on social media, they're the ones who are attacking us and calling us selfish for wanting to kill people, when actually all we want to do is save people from economic ruin, bankruptcy, suicide, mental health issues, addiction, and healthcare they're not getting. I read a story today about a pregnant mom who died with a condition that could have been treated, but the hospitals were not treating any conditions because of COVID-19, so she passed away. I'll try to get the story and get more details on it, but that's the kind of thing that breaks your heart. Unnecessary, breaks your heart, never should have happened that way. Jerry's in Warminster, he's back. Hey, Jerry.
Yes, Rich, how are you?
Okay, sir, how are you?
I love the show. Thank God for radio.com. I traveled to Florida, just got here today. Spent 2 days on the road, stopped in Georgia, of all places, spent a night at the motel, the guy behind the desk, no mask. I didn't have to step over anybody's to get into the place. There was no people dead in the street. And I could have went to dinner at Cracker Barrel, but I ordered in and I brought my mask, even though I didn't need it from Pennsylvania down to here. I didn't need it anywhere, although I wore it. And I wore my gloves when I pumped gas. I got to the Florida state line, and you would have thought that I never saw so many cops in my life. Every car had to pull in and get checked coming down 95. And if you didn't have the right answer when they asked you what state you were coming from, of course, I have a Florida license plate on my car, so it didn't matter. But if you didn't answer the question the right way, you got turned around right at the state line, and you got sent away. But I got through. I got here. Whole different story down here. I mean, the restaurants are open. Things.
And is everybody using common sense to make sure they don't get sick?
Everybody is using common sense. They're sitting outside eating. The old people down here, God love them. You know, my mom's 95, but, you know, and she's locked in up there. But they're using common sense. Everything is so different down here. The fear is not the same as they are pounding it in to everybody up there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Jerry, I'm glad you called, man. Thank you for the call, my friend, and for listening on radio.com. I don't understand how a state can turn somebody away at their borders either. You have a constitutional right to travel among the states. I don't know how that's legal either. This is crazy town. It really is. Crazy town. And again, everything. I'm telling you right now, this entire thing could have been avoided if these governors had just had a plan. Absolute failure of these governors to plan. But that's something the media won't talk about because they're Democrats. And one of them is a potential presidential rescue candidate if Joe Biden doesn't make it. So they're not going to talk about that stuff. Mary's in North Wales. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Rich. How are you? You're very awesome. Well. You are the best.
Oh, thank you.
I am just calling because I'm curious what your thoughts are. I totally agree that the whole Rachel Levine thing, it should actually be a national story. But if things go the way they normally do, it probably won't be. But do you think, is your personal belief that, are there any repercussions at all, do you think, based on what she's done? Do you think anything is going to happen in regards to this?
Well, I think I think they should absolutely have an investigation into it. I mean, the Republicans in the legislature should demand an investigation. Without question, they should. And find out all the details of it. Because, I mean, it stinks to high heaven.
Right. And I can't bring myself anymore. I just can't stomach looking at either her or Wolf anymore. I can't even listen to either one of them anymore. And I moved from New Jersey to Pennsylvania 3 years ago. You know, this kind of scenario, I can't afford to leave Pennsylvania right now, but I'll tell you what, the more and more I see, and as time goes on, and if this doesn't cement it for a lot of people, nothing will. I have to get away from any blue state around here because I just can't. I can't handle this anymore. It's just insane.
I know. I said the exact same thing to Bridget the other night. Mary, thank you for the call, my dear. I appreciate it. Great call. I said the exact same thing to Bridget the other night. I said, I don't know if we can stay here anymore. I don't know. The way that my freedoms have just been completely taken away from me. This is a thing too, and I'm going to talk more about this probably tomorrow morning. But like, I don't know if we're going to do a summer vacation this year because I don't know if I'll be able to relax knowing that there's all these restrictions on what I can do and I can't go here, can't do that, can't take the kids on rides, face masks and all. I don't know if that would be relaxing to me. At the same time, I want to get the hell out of here because I've been cooped up in this house for so long. But I don't really know if this is the year. This may be the year of the staycation. Then again, I know a lot of these businesses are dying and they need people to come. But again, it seems like governments are doing so many hurdles to even make that difficult to happen. So now this is a real struggle. I want to do everything I can to help the Jersey Shore, help Delaware beaches. I like everything in my power if I could. But I'm only one person. But you know, I always say if we can help our small businesses out during this time, whatever you can do, order takeout means a lot to them, right? But then again, I just think about, I don't want to have to look at kids in masks at a swimming pool this summer. To me, that's not relaxing and enjoyable. And I think that decision is motivated out of fear. I really do. You're outside. You know, the kids in the pool, and everybody's going to sit around in face masks? I mean, I don't know. It's stressing out my son, Patrick, and I'd rather just kind of maybe stay on the sidelines a little bit until this whole thing passes. I don't know. We will find out. 855-839-1210. I just found out that Maryland's salons are open at 50% capacity starting Friday. That's good. Good progress. See you tomorrow morning. Thank you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.